Is Facebook really worth $100 billion?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Facebook finally goes public today in perhaps the biggest IPO in American history. The market valuation will surpass $100 billion. That's more than well-established companies like Disney and Kraft. And a lot of people are wondering, how in the world can a free site like Facebook be worth that much? Marketplace's Gregory Warner joins us now to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Gregory, you know, everybody's saying there's no way Facebook could be worth this much. And we got to thinking, well, what if they were to just charge users $1 a month? That would bring in some money.
Right. You were thinking, and a lot of nervous investors are thinking about this, because calculated, just $1 a month with that many users could net $10 billion a year,
yeah,
solve all of Facebook's money profit worries. But look, Nicholas Meir, he's a professor of marketing and social media at Chapman University in Orange, California. He says Facebook only became Facebook by being patient with monetizing the site.
Facebook has to look into ways to be contemporary, to be cool, to be with the times without being too much a money grabber that is trying to profit from you.
So they can't be cool if they're going to charge a user fee.
Right. But look, here's the other side of it. Facebook isn't free. I mean, neither is Gmail. All these sites, when we use them, we pay, but we pay in personal information
right.
That's then sold to marketers. So Eric Clemens, he's a professor at Wharton Business School. He suggests this model. Some users could choose to pay a monthly fee in exchange for keeping their data private.
Facebook is demonstrating that it does provide value. It is not justifying its operating expense through selling your confidential information, but it's indeed providing a service you can't get anywhere for free.
Of course, here's the problem with that brave new world is that the people who would most likely pay the fee are the people with disposable income whose data the advertising companies probably most want to mine.
Isn't it always like that? Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Now to Washington, where lawmakers are debating a $642 billion defense spending bill. And one thing that will not be in it is the $45 million Technology Innovation Program. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports that'll put some emerging technologies on hold.
The Technology Innovation Program, or TIP, gave cash to researchers who were developing promising but still unproven technologies. One recipient was testing electronic light pulses that could find cracks in concrete or stone. Vince Cerf was one of TIP's advisors.
Bridges, buildings, highways, and things like that, which, as we know, over time disintegrate just because of use.
Cerf knows government money can be necessary to bring new technologies to market. He helped start the Internet, which got 20 years of federal support before it was a commercial success.
I regret to see this program go away. I think we should have more programs like that.
But saving TIP's $45 million every year won't solve trillion-dollar deficits, says the Concord Coalition's Robert Bixby.
While this may give the appearance of tough budget medicine and, you know, making hard choices, it really is not getting at the heart of the problem.
To do that, Bixby says Congress has to deal with entitlement programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down again in overseas trading this morning, down 3% in Tokyo, 0.6% right now in London, 0.9% in Paris, after 16 Spanish banks were downgraded by Moody's. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped another 156 points to close at 12,442. It's down 11 of the last 12 trading days. That is the longest streak like that in 10 years.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
If you've seen a lot of limos in your neighborhood lately, that's probably because it is prom season, the time of year when high school students get to celebrate with a night they're told they will always remember. And this year, they'll probably remember the bill for a little longer than usual, as Bridget Bodner reports.
It's prom season at the Mint Collection. High schoolers come and go, and everywhere. Flouncy neon cocktail dresses, beaded minis, even a few feathery gowns.
I don't know, it's pretty.
Claudia Thompson was shopping with her daughter. 2 years ago, the single mom was unemployed and relied on family members to help make ends meet. Claudia wants her daughter's senior prom to be a special night.
If it would have taken place back then, I think I would have worked at McDonald's if I had to, but would have given her the same as I'm giving her now.
Mom Claudia has already shelled out more than $700 on prom so far. That's just for tickets and a dress. She still needs to buy her daughter shoes, hair, makeup, flowers, transportation, dinner, pictures. Claudia's got a long list, and she's not alone. Visa estimates the average family will spend over $1,000 on prom this year. That's up a third from the year before. Paula Rosenblum is with Retail Systems Research. She's not surprised by the extra spending.
We've gone through uncertain times for so long that a certain amount of frugality fatigue has set in. And consumers really would prefer to open up their wallets and enjoy themselves, particularly on special life events like a prom.
Back at the boutique register, Tressa Matthews had just opened her wallet, spending $600 on her daughter's dress.
It's unbelievable to me how much things are now and what the expectation is in terms of how much to be spent and what this night is for these kids. Like, it's a little out of hand.
In fact, she spent $100 more than she'd planned. But her daughter, Sage Gregory, had fallen in love with a long gold dress.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to spend more. But, I mean, this is also my senior prom, so it's kind of more special.
Sage says she's looking at it like she's helping the economy.
Because I feel like you need to, what's the word? When you activate the economy, what is that?
Stimulate
the economy. That's what I think of that I'm doing.
The sales staff at the Mint Collection offered another reason the price of prom is up. Most of the dresses are made in China. Factories there are charging more for labor this year. And designers are passing along the cost. In Los Angeles, I'm Bridget Bodner for Marketplace.
So how much did you spend on your prom? Go to our Facebook page and let us know. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.